The games meant something for the Pirates finally over the weekend. 3 in St. Louis. The first two didn't go so well. The third one went really well, especially for Mitch Keller and for Derek Shelton, who gets his first major league victory as a manager and first victory as the Pirates manager. Adam Berry of MLB.com joins us now on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Holland Capitis. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing well. And after last week's fiasco, the first thing I did this morning was check my phone to make sure you hadn't announced any game time changes.
I did not change the time of any games today. I had nothing to do with that. Still 7:05 tonight at PNC Park. Steven Brault getting the start for the Pirates against the Milwaukee Brewers. But Mitch Keller got the start yesterday. And myself included, I think some of us have lost sight of the fact that that's probably the biggest story out of yesterday's game, aside from Shelton getting his first major league victory, is that Keller, despite going through some issues, walking the first two guys in the second inning, giving up a run in the third, really settled down and battled through some issues to pitch really stellar fourth and fifth innings and get just his second major league win.
Yeah, there's a couple things there. I'd agree with the fact that it's the most important story other than Shelton's first win. And really, he represents so much that is important about what Shelton, Oscar Marin, the pitching coach, and the GM, Ben Cherington, need to do this season, in the sense that they cannot mess up with another top pitching prospect. They need to show that they can get the most out of their pitchers. That's more Marin's responsibility, because that's something they didn't do over the last several years. And they need to show that they have some young players that they can build around, since Cherington is so insistent that this is a build, not a rebuild. That means they need to move forward from here, which means you have to have guys to move forward with. And Keller is one of their best hopes to do that in the rotation. So, yeah, I think there were encouraging signs. There were some red flags. The velocity was down, and there wasn't a great explanation for why. There was some inconsistent command. You'd like to see him, pound the strike zone a little bit more to get deeper into a game whenever he's a little more stretched out. But the fact that the guy pitched around all that, it was really impressive to me against a pretty good team that, you know, had no trouble, making things happen offensively the day before. So, yeah, I think that really was encouraging and something that Keller can build off of. He seems more confident this year, and I would think that his confidence is only going to grow as he puts together more starts like that.
Yeah, Adam, and something that I think a secondary pitch, well, there are a couple of secondary pitching things, but I'm thinking of at one point JT Brubaker was like the up-and-coming guy through the system. And then he became a forgotten man because of injuries. And all of a sudden yesterday, it looks like there's something there.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people in the organization, mostly players, which is probably the more encouraging thing, because you want to hear it from their peers, speak very highly of Brubaker since his first big league camp with the Pirates. I mean, people have said he's polished, that he gets it, you know, that he might be a late blooming type of guy, once they really figured out his arsenal. And I think you started to see that, because you're right. I mean, last year he fell off the radar a little bit, and he probably would have made his debut last year given all the pitching injuries they had if he was not injured as well. So to come back and be put in that situation, you know, a three-run game, your major league debut against, like I said, a good team after you've lost two games in a row, and to do what he did, I mean, the stuff was nasty. Like, I still think his future would be in the rotation somewhere, you know, back into the rotation or something along those lines, but you know, if this guy can help get you through this season where you're going to need relievers and multi-inning arms as a bullpen guy, then you got to ride that while you can.
Adam Berry covers the Pirates for MLB.com. He's with us here on the Fan Morning Show. We have no idea when to expect Keone Kella back. So in the meantime, given the way Kyle Crick and Richard Rodriguez pitched over the weekend and the way Nick Birdie pitched yesterday afternoon, I get it, it's one outing, but in a 60-game sprint, as they keep calling it, why not make something of that one outing and ride a hot hand? Could we see Birdie used in the meantime as the ninth inning guy?
Yeah, I would think that he'd probably be on the short list for your highest leverage reliever, you know, whether that's the ninth inning like it was yesterday or, you know, it's the eighth inning against the middle of the lineup, or something along those lines. Yeah, I think he has to be. And, you know, you're right about riding the hot hand, but it's not necessarily just about the results. You do have to look at the process in this to determine what's going to happen next, because you can say, okay, you know, Kyle Crick didn't have a great outing, but he's Kyle Crick. You know, he's been successful in the past, but his stuff didn't look the same. The velocity didn't look the same. Same thing for Richard Rodriguez. It was inconsistent. Whereas Michael Feliz, you know, yesterday looked pretty good. The stuff looked good. It was good enough to pretend that he could be successful in a future situation as well in a high-leverage role. But Birdie's stuff was on another level. So I think you do have to ride that to a certain extent. You know, it'd be the same thing with Brubaker or Clay Holmes the other night. You have to evaluate what guys are doing now, because you know, baseball people love to spit on small sample sizes, but this whole season is a small sample size. So to a certain extent, yeah, I mean, you do have to write it because Purdy looked great. And a lot of people in the organization believe he is a future closer at some point. So, you know, if he can do it now and stay successful and keep commanding the ball the way that he did yesterday, then sure, I think you ride it out until Keone Kelly comes back.
You know, it's funny, while you were talking, Adam, this thought crept into my mind because we're going to see it tonight where Brault was asked yesterday, how much can you go? And he basically said three innings. So we know he'll go three if he can. And then Chad Kuhl will go, you know, three, maybe four behind him. But with guys like Brubaker and guys like Clay Holmes, do they have kind of a mini piggyback situation perhaps? And I guess you could throw Stratton in there as well, where if you can get five innings out of your starter like they did yesterday, and you can get two innings out of the next guy, that really shortens the rest of the staff.
Yeah, I would think Brubaker definitely falls into that category. Stratton definitely does. Stratton could even be a piggyback consideration type guy just based on the way he was stretched out in the summer camp. Clay Holmes is a little bit more of a true reliever. I think you could probably go two innings with him, or you know, somebody like Robbie Erlin if he were to look better than he did his first time out. So you kind of have varying levels of it. You know, you have the true long relief, or you know, piggyback guys, if you will, the tandem start type guys, and then you have those sort of multi-inning arms. And I would say Holmes is probably more in the latter, where Stratton and Brubaker are more in the former, to the point where, hey, you know, if you did have to stretch these guys out to start because there are so many pitching injuries or illnesses or something along those lines, yeah, you could stick those guys in the rotation and figure it out from there.
Adam Berry of MLB.com is with us on the Fan Morning Show talking Bucks after they take one out of three in St. Louis to start their season. The home opener, 7:05 tonight against the Brewers here on 93.7 The Fan. There are pleasant surprises, like Philip Evans just smashing baseballs all over Busch Stadium this weekend, and Jose Osuna driving in four runs in three games. And then there's the top of the order and guys like Reynolds and Newman perhaps getting off to slow starts. Again, small sample size, but 60-game season, all those same things we're going to talk about all year. Do you, again, when we talk about hot hands, like I mentioned with Nick Birdie, do you get the sense that Derek Shelton, even though he says he's plotting his lineups out a few days ahead of time, will he make allowances for, hey, Philip Evans is hot, Jose Osuna is hot, let's keep these guys in the lineup?
I think it's also about matchups, too. So, you know, maybe Osuna and Evans are hitting the ball well in the games they've played because of the pitchers that they've been lined up against. You know, Osuna, certainly his swing looks good. We've known the power there for a while, and they were really high on Phil Evans based on what he did coming out of spring training and summer camp. But I think you have to kind of take it all into consideration. You know, you can't just say, oh, this guy's hot right now, so he's going to keep being hot. You can't say this guy is cold right now, so maybe he's just not good. You do have to give them a chance to go out there and kind of fight their way out of it, which is what I think you'll see with guys like Bell and Reynolds. But, I mean, yeah, we never saw this from Reynolds last year. I don't think we saw him go hitless in three straight starts the entirety of his rookie season. So this is new. This is different. This is something that you have to address. Whereas with Bell, the concern would be that we have seen extended slumps from him before, and we've seen, you know, games, weeks, months where he'll go out there and change his stance and look like he's, you know, searching or look like he's lost a little bit. So, you know, maybe you can be more proactive with rest for a guy like that and just put him in the cage for a day and let him work, because you do have somebody like Jose Osuna has been good, or, you know, you can put Phil Evans in the outfield or something and move that around. But, you know, this is also, the Pirates are playing a long game here to a certain extent where, like I said, they do have to evaluate what they're building around. So you can't play, work with me here, Guillermo Heredia instead of Brian Reynolds just because he's had a good game or two. You know what I mean? So you do have to take a lot of things into consideration, which is one reason I do not envy the job of a major league manager this season more than most.
Well, let me ask about Polanco, I guess. Do you have any idea if he's cleared, he's working out, is there any chance he plays tonight? When would you expect to see him? And then I guess the obvious guy to go to make room would be Jason Martin.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think, based on what we heard yesterday, that it would be tonight for Polanco. I think Shelton said a few days, which would lead me to believe, you know, whether it's the end of this three-game series at home or the start of the next road trip on Friday. But it seems like they're really optimistic. You know, Polanco did a really good job staying in shape while he was quarantined and in isolation after testing positive for COVID-19. So they're encouraged by that, and they are going to ease him back in with a DH day. Shelton made that very clear, even though he won't tell us anything else about the lineup going forward. He said, you know, the first game Polanco is back, he's going to be the DH. So, you know, maybe if he feels good and he looks good in these workouts, you can sneak him into the lineup Wednesday as DH, have an off day, and see where he's at on Friday when they start the road trip. But then, yeah, I would agree. I think Jason Martin would be the guy to go. You know, you're going to see less Guillermo Heredia, as I mentioned earlier, in the lineup. You know, they're probably going to still experiment a little bit in right field, you know, bouncing guys in and out of there as they do this kind of rest thing. But, I mean, they do kind of need the extra bat in the lineup, I think, with Polanco and, you know, somebody to bat behind Bell or bat somewhere in the middle of that order. And I think they're pretty encouraged about where Polanco is at physically, health-wise, you know, injury-wise, coming out of spring and summer when his shoulder looked a lot better than it did last year.
Adam Berry of MLB.com. Before we let you run, Adam, on a serious note, what do you think the level of concern is around Major League Baseball with four different Marlins testing positive for COVID in the last few days, three of them yesterday, Urania being pulled from a start just hours before game time. They stay in Philly last night and will travel now the morning of their home opener back to Miami. Is there a concern about a possible outbreak within the Marlins? And what does Major League Baseball plan on doing today to sort of keep a close eye on things before they're scheduled to play at 7 o'clock tonight against, I believe it's the Yankees in that home opener?
Yeah, I would say it's high among players. Concern is high among players after seeing that, because this is kind of the nightmare scenario. You know, everybody gets through things well during the summer camp phase where everybody's in the same city and they don't have to travel. Then they start traveling and you see guys start to test positive, and not just, you know, the occasional guy here and there, but multiple guys on one team who have been in the clubhouse now that another team will come play in and then go home to play another team entirely. And, you know, you would see in real time essentially how the virus could spread in Major League Baseball, which is not an experiment anybody wants to take part in right now. So I think there's a lot of concern among the players, and the best thing they can do is just sanitize, clean, follow the protocol. I would not be surprised if you see more players wearing masks on the field as they play the Marlins and as they play the Phillies, just because, you know, you're waiting for tests to come back. And I think there'll be a lot of anticipation to see not only the way that teams test as they come into this thing, but how the Marlins test going forward. Because, I mean, you know, this is a real-time contagious virus, and what other teams do and how other teams test really matters for everybody.
It's going to be an interesting morning in Miami, an interesting day overall leading up to their game tonight and for the next few days with the Marlins. Adam, thanks so much for the time. We look forward to hopefully nothing similar happening with the Pirates, getting Polanco back soon, and some baseball tonight. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Adam Berry of MLB.com.